God. Okay. And go.
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tattooed cold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
fuck you. Everybody, you know, if you're ever wondering if this is a show which you know, has been preceded by me drinking whiskey, a good way to tell is if I'm singing along with whatever song gets played. That's not a choice I would make. That's not a sober decision. That is a whiskey decision. That's not even a beer decision. I mean, that's a many beers decision. That's not a single beer, though. Welcome to another one. I just, the last two weekends, I've, you know, had to get up on Saturday, real hungover. real hungover. You know, there's one of these old Chicago restaurants nearby. And so, you know, they do these beer tours, right? And it's like you can go around the world drinking these different beers. They have 100 and some. Although some of them are bullshit, because here's the thing. I'm fine with trying some beer from fucking Belgium or Estonia or Latvia or, you know, I don't know. I'm not as into the, you know, I can't imagine they have great beer coming out of, let's say, who do I want to be racist against this early in the show? Welcome. So they have this beer tour. It's like around the world, but they also do mini things. So it was Cinco de Mayo, which is a Mexican excitement day. And they had a mini tour related to that. So, you know, you had to drink these 8 beers and then you win a t-shirt. So, I mean, I wasn't overly motivated by this t-shirt. However, I'm always up for a challenge. Throw a challenge at me and I'll say, I'll catch the challenge in my baseball glove. I think the baseball glove I had was the exact baseball glove that the kid in the Sandlot has. You remember that, where his baseball glove's kind of made out of plastic or something? We had the same fucking baseball glove, me and that kid. So, you know, the one night I had the 4 beers, and then I think we went somewhere and I had maybe a couple more beers. And I was hungover, man. Turned into an old man. 5-6 beers, hungover. But, you know, then to finish the tour, you got to go back the next week. So I went back the next week and had the 4 beers. Then we went out, you know, to a bar, you know, to celebrate the finishing, the 8 beers. Went out to a bar and had a couple more beers, you know. Can I tell you something, though, that makes me feel grown up? So we go out to this other bar, and it's getting towards the end of the night. And you know how you know you're pretty drunk is when it's like, at some point in the night, you're just kind of, it feels exactly the same to you, but someone comes up and is like, oh, we're leaving now. Like, we need to leave. They are closing. And then you kind of look over at whoever's working there, and they have their arms crossed, and they're standing by the door, and you're like, oh, Christ, they really are closing, you know? You're not fucking paying attention to that shit. You, as far as you know, it's just been 40 minutes. You know, you're just closing the place down. So it's been a couple hungover weekends for me. Tough. It's a tough life I'm living these days. Welcome. So I wanted to talk about, let's get serious, huh? 5 minutes in here. Let's get down to some brass tacks. I wanted to talk today about feminism. Because here's the thing. I was directed to this thing online. And it's a series of pictures called I Need Feminism. You know, and it's all these chicks holding up. Chicks. This is all obviously starting out great. Yeah, it's, you know, this thing about feminism. All these babes are holding up a picture that says I need feminism because I got these boobs here. It's about, you know, it's people saying why they need feminism. All ladies, by the way. I noticed there weren't any men who felt they needed feminism. I want to say this about feminism. I think I'm anti-feminist, and here's why. I'm not against women having equal things, and in fact, I think things should be equal. Which is why I'm against feminism. Because I don't believe, for example, that, you know, I don't think I owe it to a woman to be, you know, I as a 29-year-old man don't owe it to a 29-year-old woman to, for example, I don't know, give her some kind of job over an equally qualified man. You know, if they're, everything's the same, it should just be a coin toss, right? I don't think, like, the woman should get the job because, like, well, she's a woman. Furthermore, I think a lot of people make this argument when we talk about feminism. I've been thinking about this a lot, but it was before I got drunk, so I'm going to do my best. I think a lot of people argue, okay, you know, ladies and fellas seem to be more suited to certain tasks. Now, 90% of tasks, I think, are pretty equal, okay? I'm not going to go with things like, oh, men are way better drivers or whatever, but let's put it this way. I wake up tomorrow and I'm the coach for the Oakland Raiders, and they say, you have to hire someone, you have to hire a brand new defensive line, you know, based on these paper applications that just say height, weight, and how fast you run the 40. I suspect that I will find the biggest, fastest people will be male. And therefore, they are best suited to be my offensive line. Now, I can certainly understand the argument that perhaps there's a certain, you know, if someone wants to say, oh, it's because boys grow up playing football and told that it's good to be big instead of dainty and whatever, I'm not going to disagree with that. You can say that all day. My point is, I live in today, and I have to pick from the stock available to me today. So if you want to have a daughter and raise her to be, you know, the perfect player for a football team, and she can be the first lady in the NFL because she deserves it, I'm totally fine with that. But I think that part of what feminism is about not acknowledging the difference. The other part is, I think that it's about being favoring women over men. So as a woman, I think that's okay to do, because you're a woman. I mean, I think it's pretty natural to favor your own kind, you know. However, if you looked at it any other way, you know what I mean? If I said, well, I'm white, I favor whites. Now you're picturing a swastika on my forehead, tattooed. I don't have that tattoo on my forehead. It's on my lower back, where a swastika belongs. Wouldn't that be great? I could see that as a scene in a movie. I'm like at the grocery store talking up some chick. I bend over to put away the macaroni and cheese because I think I don't need to buy that. And then as I'm bending, you see the swastika tattoo, and she's like, oh my. Turn to her because I know she saw it, and I just put my finger up to my lips and go, shh. That's a creepy start to a movie. That's some fear shit right there. So look, here's all I'm saying. A, I think we need to acknowledge there's a difference. And B, if it's fair to be a feminist, then it's fair to be, you know, a maleist, a mailman. I think I should be allowed to be a mailman if it's okay to favor women as a woman. I think then it's okay to favor men as a man, right? Why is that not okay? I don't understand. And, you know, I make that football analogy. I'm sure there are jobs, too, that I would hire a woman for first, you know, sight unseen, if I had to pick. Let's face it. If I was hiring someone to care for my child, I mean, there have been fewer, it seems, as far as I know, fewer cases of child molesters that turn out to be these ladies, right? So just playing the statistics. And again, I'm not saying, oh my God, they're genetically meant to do this, or their bodies are designed to do that, or they have these temperaments, but I work with what I've got, okay? So if you want to create your daughter to be whatever you want, go for it. But unless you can retroactively change someone to be something they're not today, I don't know what to tell you. So let's talk about some of the things that are on these signs. This is a real thing. You can actually follow along and check this out. It's Imgur, imgur.com/A/D72CO. Let me know when you get there. Did you pull it up? Okay. So let's look at this first feminist sign. I need feminism because men can still rape even without laying a hand on a woman. I'm not really sure what that means or what the point this person is trying to make here. How do you rape someone without laying a hand? Are you being literal? I mean, yes, I guess a man with hook hands could rape. He may be better at it than a man with real hands, you know? Or, you know, he's got one hook and one spike. Or just one fake hand and the fingers hinge off and shoot knockout gas. Yeah, he'd probably be a real good rapist, in fact. But I don't know what that means. A look or something? A look can be hurtful. I understand that. And a look can be something that you don't ask for and that you get. But to call that rape, I find that insulting to people who've been raped. Okay? If someone was looking at my butt and then I said it was as bad as being raped, I think someone who was raped would probably take issue with that, right? I don't think they'd be real happy to say that. Plus, you got bad hair, lady. Next. I need feminism because vulnerability should not be a weakness. Hey, I'm a sensitive man. I mean, okay, again, that's assuming that vulnerable is a lady quality. I'm vulnerable. My heart is on my sleeves. Not even just one. It's exposed on both sides, in the front and back. All the way around in the sleeve. It's even in the armpit, which was where the sweat comes from. My God. I can't even wear the color gray. I know your struggle. Certain colors I cannot wear because I'm sweating. Let's go to this next one here. Oh, God. I need feminism because having STDs should be a badge of honor, not a stigma. I mean, yeah, I don't think that because someone has herpes, that does not make them a monster. I mean, it does physically. But I'll have sex with a monster. That's fine. Bring on the monsters, you know what I mean? The universal monsters, not one of them would I not have sex with. I think plenty of people would have sex with Elvira, plenty of guys. So she's a literal monster, and we'd still have sex with her. But to say that an STD should be a badge of honor, what is the act that's being honored there? That you fucked somebody? Good for you. I mean, that's not exciting to me. You know what I mean? I don't know that we should be applauding people for having sex and getting an STD. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's like, let's not just say, like, you know, the more STDs you have, the better. I mean, the D stands for disease. You know, this is not, I don't think anyone who has a herpes is going to be like, I love it. I don't even take medicine for it because these herpes are fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Plus, I don't really see what that has to do with feminism because last time I checked, penises riddled with STDs. The last time I checked when I urinated, minutes ago, riddled through and through. It's like if you had a block of Swiss cheese shaped like a dick, and then you filled the holes in the Swiss cheese dick with disease, spores. Imagine it, just wriggling, holes going in through the entire dick. Someone drilled a hole through my dick and just put diseases in the hole and then sealed up the ends, and we just waited to see what happened. Not a ladies' only issue. All right, next. I need feminism because they don't let women stand up to pee. This girl looks like she's about to cry, too. I mean, who's not letting you do that? Who is they? That's my question. Who is the they that's not let... We refuse to let you stand up and pee. If you want to stand up and pee, by all means. I'm not stopping anyone, believe me. If I was at a bar and some lady walked into the bathroom and did some kind of something to squeeze her vagina, I've heard that this is possible. If you use your fingers and you imagine you're letting the air out of a balloon and you can sort of stretch it so it goes, I've heard that you can do this and therefore control the urine stream and pee standing up. If I saw someone doing that, I would not say, hey, absolutely not. I will not let this. As part of the male vanguard, it's my responsibility to say no. I mean, that's kind of like me saying, I'm a feminist because they will not let me slam dunk. Who is they? I mean, my fucking parents who gave me this fucking terrible body that can't do anything right? I can't even fucking chew right. What are the odds I could slam dunk? Although that would be a good trade-off. If I could at least slam dunk, I could say, well, you gotta wear these fucking braces as a 29-year-old man. But on the plus, you know, I won the slam dunk competition 3 years in a fucking row. So they can talk all the shit they want about these braces. But here it is. All right, here we go. However we dress, wherever we go, yes means yes, no means no. Actually, that one I can agree with. It's a little Dr. Seussy for my liking. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the no means no is pretty clear. To me, I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's because I'm not a fucking rapist, but if someone says they don't want to have sex with me, I don't want to have sex with them. If I said, hey, will you have sex with me? And you said no, I would be like, well, okay, I need to go home and probably curl into a ball on the couch. This is going to be a couch sleeping night. That's how my feelings, where they're at, you know? I need to sort of curl in a ball on the couch, wake up periodically, wonder what's happening to my life, that I can still sleep on a couch, you know, and no one's coming out to see how I'm doing. Oh, this is a good one. I need feminism because disabled women are still considered as unfeminine and unsexy. Disabled women. I mean, that totally depends. Can I tell you something crazy? All right, in high school, every high school has this. I guarantee you. Go to a high school, there will be a girl on the volleyball team or the soccer team on crutches. Every high school in America right now. I don't care if you're in fucking Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Mobile, Alabama. There's going to be a girl on fucking crutches, crutching her way around. And by the way, doctors, you need to teach these motherfuckers how to use crutches. Because I see someone on crutches, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know how to use two crutches as a replacement for a leg. You know, they're just kind of like slowly walking while crutching. Cane, same thing. Can you fucking show them how to use the cane? I don't know how you do that. Strap it to their leg in some way, but it's like these old motherfuckers. I swear to God, at my work, we found 10 canes in the lost and found. How bad do you need your cane if you make it out to your car and not only can you don't even know that you don't have your cane? Here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that seeing someone in a wheelchair is particularly sexy. But these volleyball chicks, when they were on the crutches, I was into that, man. I don't know why. That was hot to me. Girl in a half leg cast, I was like, let's get it on. I should look at that porn and just put in, like, cast. I'm sure there's someone having sex with a cast on their broken leg, right? But I don't know. I would think you'd get into porn because then you wouldn't have to fucking, you know, go to work when you broke your leg. You'd be like, I made enough money to take 6 weeks off. Fuck it. If there's ever been a time. Oh, God. Or what if it's the porn like right after the cast gets removed so they have one shriveled, pale leg? You know, I had a cast when I was in middle school, which, I mean, it's a pretty good time to have a cast because here's the thing that's bad about a cast. It's really, I mean, it sucks. It's annoying, but you get used to it pretty quick. And in sixth grade, it's cool because then you're the kid with the cast, man. You're that kid with the fucking broken arm. You know, everybody needs something. Someone's going to wear a crazy hat. Someone's going to be the kid who wears the same Nine Inch Nails shirt every day. Someone's the kid with the shitty haircut. But you're the kid with the cast. That's like something that's dangerous and cool, you know what I mean? It's definitely not the, that's the kid whose mom came to pick him up during the middle of lunch and get him in trouble for nothing. This is a real thing. So I don't know, but here's the thing. Then you get this cast sawed off. And even in sixth grade, here's what they tell you at the hospital, too. They're like, oh, we use a special saw that can cut through cast and not skin. And I remember thinking, that cannot fucking be a thing. That is not possible. You know what I mean? That's got to be total bullshit. What kind of semi-permeable barrier is a cast made out of that skin? This seems a lot harder than my skin. So they take the cast off, and that's cool. And then you peel, you know, the dead skin just stays in there. Like, you don't realize how much skin you're losing until you have a cast on. And then you basically peel what's like a giant toenail off of your entire arm. You know, so they're like, go ahead and wash up in the sink after we take the cast, in the stink. Oh my God, it stinks terribly. They peel the cast off, and you know, then you, it's like taking off a rubber glove, except it's all skin. You know, I remember washing in the sink and I peel off this rubber glove and being a kid, I didn't really know what to do. So it's like this just basically glove of skin sitting in the bottom of the sink, the hospital. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I don't know, being in a wheelchair is not hot, but I don't think that's, again, I don't think that's sexy for guys either. And can we talk about sexiness for a second? Because I had something brought up to me that I thought was really important to say or point out. Someone was telling me about Kim Kardashian and how she's pregnant and fat, and everyone's talking about how she's fat. And she's like, why is everyone so obsessed with me being fat? You know, and it oscillates between leave me alone or let's talk about how I'm fat. But, and this was a lady who said this, by the way. She said, well, Kim Kardashian's whole thing is about her body and her sexiness. So when that changes, it's a story because that's her whole thing. That's what she's made her life about. So if you make your life about being sexy and then you become unsexy in a way that's universally recognized as unsexy, I don't know what to tell you. You probably should make your life about being sexy. I mean, if that's your number one goal to be sexy, what the fuck are you going to do? Then you get married and it's like, well, I hope I continue to be sexy to my spouse. The end. I mean, that's not exciting. All right, move on. Let's see. Okay. It took me 4 years for me to realize, one, it's still rape, even if you're in a relationship. I can agree with that. Two, it's still rape, even if he's not physically holding you down. Sure. Three, I was raped. Four, it will not break me. I mean, that's fine. I don't know. What do you say to that? This is another thing. Someone tells you they're raped. That's like the ultimate trump card. What am I going to do, argue with her? I mean, It took her 4 years to realize she was raped. I mean, that's pretty crazy. But again, this is saying I need feminism because I didn't know what rape was and that someone I cared about could rape me. That's a fucking just a huge problem. I need feminism because I don't want to feel bad about not wanting to give my phone number to a guy that I owe nothing. I mean, that's just a personality issue, right? If you don't fucking like a guy, don't give him your number. Just say, no, I don't like you. No, I don't think we're going to date. Say I have a boyfriend. That's the easiest thing in the world. Oh, I have a boyfriend.
Done.
You know what I mean? Simple. Let's see. I need feminism because I don't need products like Clean and Dry Intimate Wash to tell me the color of my vagina is not attractive. It's not the color of your vagina, it's the appearance. It's the shape. I mean, the vagina is not, in and of itself, I don't see an open spread vagina as being like a, oh my god, that's what I want, baby. Just a close, super close up of a vagina. I mean, I don't know. I think I could say the same thing about, you know, oh, so you don't find my penis hole attractive? You don't want to see close-up pics of the inside of my urethra? Huh. Well, I guess you're just anti-man, aren't you? You just have no respect for a man's body. That's the problem. You just don't respect me. And I won't put up with it. You should love every part of me, no matter how grotesque. I mean, look, here's the thing. If you're cool, if you're fun, and I find you attractive for whatever reason, it's fine. Everything's fine. You know, and we learn if someone's overall someone we like to ignore their flaws. So, you know, if you have a crazy toe or something, it's like, that's not a big fucking deal. However, if you're going to be telling me all the time that I should be attracted to chicks in wheelchairs, I mean, I don't know. What's the difference between that and saying, like, I'm into stump porn? You know? That seems weird to me. Okay. Well, it's time to move on to something else, right? We do a little segment on this show called Oprah in Space. This is about Oprah doing her new show in outer space. She's on the space station. And some people have said that's racist. I want to play a little clip of Oprah from 1988. And you can tell me who the real crazy one is. Here we go.
At 11.
It was a fairy tale romance, wining and dining, passion, love. Then you married and everything changed. On the next Oprah Winfrey Show, meet women who say they're Prince Charming turned into a frog, and men who say that Cinderella turned into the Wicked Witch of the West as soon as the honeymoon was over. What happens to couples when the honeymoon is over? On the next Oprah Winfrey Show.
Oprah, tomorrow at 3.
Oprah.
ASBY TV6.
Okay, what the fuck did she just say? Oh, they married and it was the Wizard of Oz, and then it turned into the Wicked Witch of the West, tonight on Oprah. Fuck you. Fuck you, you fucking idiot. I mean, give me a break. So that's supposed to be something that I'm excited about there. You know, that is a woman that needs to be respected. However, Oprah in Space is all wrong. So without further ado, our newest episode of Oprah in Space. Oprah's intro. Ope, tell me what you gonna do when they come when I hang.
Judgment comes for you when judgment comes for you. What you gonna do when they come when I hang. When judgment comes for you, cause it's gonna come for you. And I'm gonna miss everybody out of rolling
like. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Oprah in Space. My name is Oprah. Today we have a very special guest with me today who came up to the Oprah in Space studio, which is space. That's my whole studio, with space. Here's my special guest today. Would you like to interrupt yourself? Oh, God. Sometimes this show is live, and I don't know how to do live TV. Go ahead and introduce yourself today.
My name's Duke Nukem.
I'm sorry, go ahead and go again, because I don't know how to manage sound.
My name's Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem, welcome to the show. I hope you're having a good show so far. So tell me, what did you think about coming up into space?
You're pissing me off.
I can understand that. Space is pretty rough. You know, when Oprah first got to space, she felt like things would never be the same. She felt like maybe it was time to give up. Oprah felt like the first half hour of The Blind Side. Did you see The Blind Side?
That was one of the best movies. Did you see The Blind Side?
You talking to me?
Yeah, of course I'm talking to you. What did you think of The Blind Side? Did you think that it was a good movie? Or did you think that it was a terrible movie? What did you think about the things that had happened to that poor black giant?
Shit happens.
That's true. That's true. What do you think about his dick?
I like big guns.
Me too, Duke. Duke, you and me got a lot in common, honey. I like your haircut. I like your balls. I like your sunglasses. I like to fog them up. I'd like to put my butt right near your glasses and fog up them glasses.
Ugh, something smells rotten around here.
Yeah, that's Oprah. Oprah's been up here a long time, sugar. Brown sugar. Although you white. You ain't brown sugar. You're white. But you know what? I think you're pretty good. Oprah's been lonely. How do you feel about throwing Oprah a bone?
Damn, you're ugly.
That's true. That is true. I'm not gonna lie. Oprah has lost a step in the looks department. Oprah's just gonna have a hit off of this beer. Mmm! Oprah's got a new appreciation for beer. Can you believe it? Oprah would like to tell you a little story about what happened to Oprah as a little girl. Do you have time to listen to a little story about Oprah?
Go ahead. Make my day.
Thank you, sugar. White sugar. Morton salt. When Oprah was just a little baby, just a little Hershey Kiss wrapped up in a piece of foil because my parents did not have a blanket. Oprah came home from the hospital. And even as just a baby, she ate all the Oreos in the whole house. Can you believe it? Yeah, I know. I know. But it was good, man. Oprah doesn't say, man. How did that happen? But then she started to get big in the ass. And then she started to get big in the face.
Your face, your ass. What's the difference?
That's true. That's where Oprah's fat goes, her face and her ass. But then Oprah came out into space. And after that, she started to feel good. She started to feel different. I don't know why she got out up in space.
I'm an equal opportunity ass kicker.
Yeah, equal opportunity. That's probably part of it.
Damn, I'm good.
You know it. Even if you're real slow on the uptake, you piece of shit. Mm. Tell you what Oprah does like eating. This liquid food out in space. That's one of the only things she likes to eat. Sometimes she just squeezes them all into one big wad in zero gravity and then opens her mouth and just sucks it all in like a big zero gravity noodle. That's one of my favorite things to eat. I love to eat.
Eat shit and die.
I've eaten my shit too. I'm not above it. I'm one of the people. Well, Duke Nukem, I think that's all the time we have for you today. I hope you had a good time.
Damn, that was annoying.
Yeah, I know. This was probably one of the worst ideas I've ever had on this show. But I hope you come back soon, and thanks for stopping by.
You're an inspiration for birth control.
Oh, Sugar, thank you so much. I'm going to play you out here. Where to hide when it's nowhere to run. Good old Uncle Charlie. Yeah, I was thinking about rappers. You know, so they get these crazy grills and shit, right? Who's the fucking dentist who's doing that shit? Have you no pride? Some rapper comes to you and he's like, well, I just made a big song This is my black man going, black rapper going to the dentist voice. Well, I just made a song, and I would like to change the appearance of my dental situation here, my dental outlook. And the dentist says, that's a great, what a great thing to do. Now you've got money. You know, I think investing in your own dental health is an investment in the future. People talk about buying homes. People talk about, putting money into a CD, compact disc. But, you know, people sometimes neglect their own health, and their dental health really is tied to your emotional health and your physical health in a big way. So let's talk about, tell me what do you, I'm sorry, what's your name? N-word killer 8-ball? Yeah, you can call me 8-ball. All right, 8-ball. So tell me, what were you thinking of doing? Well, I was thinking of getting all my teeth covered in gold, and then I wanted to put diamonds on my two front teeth that are cut in the shape of a woman's open vagina. What do you think, doctor? And then the dentist says, yeah, that sounds reasonable. That sounds like a medically sound procedure. What the fuck, man? I mean, can't you turn down a job here and there and be like, listen, I mean, I'm not real into gluing like a woman's orifice onto your tooth. I think that's going to make you unhappy. Medically, I can't endorse that. It's only a matter of time for that diamond comes out and then you're, you know, you're going to have to make a tough decision. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. 5 years from now, you'll either be super famous and it'll be cool. And, you know, you just get a new one. Or you're going to be broke as fuck. And then you're going to have to make a tough decision about how many days of shits you're going to paw through your own fecal matter until you recover this diamond that you swallowed in the night. That is not a good situation to be in. People are so unprofessional. You know, I had this. Okay, so this friend was telling me, he goes to this guy who gives tattoos, right? This is how I know tattoo guys are complete fucking scumbags. He goes to this tattoo guy, and he's telling me, how this guy is like, oh, this guy's a real good guy. He's real different. You know what I mean? He's a nice, normal guy. And he's, so in order to illustrate this point, what he says is he's like, oh, yeah, here's the thing. He's only ever done one face tattoo on someone. He did it on this girl. Did it a couple weeks ago. He tattooed her fucking face. And he's like, I would never do it again. I felt wrong when I did it, so I don't ever want to do it again. And this is supposed to be an example of how this guy's a good guy. You know how I know I'm a good guy? Because I don't need to fucking tattoo someone's face to know that tattooing someone's face is wrong. You know what I mean? That's like saying, I know this guy. One murder. He did one horrific murder where he jumped out of a bush and cut a woman's arms and legs off, kept her alive, took her to a weird basement and pumped her full of fluids to keep her alive, and slowly murdered her over a period of 9 weeks, you know? And was the whole time, I mean, he kept her alive and she watched an episode of Friends every day that he played on DVD for her, and in just horrible pain and screaming through the whole thing, and then once the Friends ended, then he killed her. Now, he did that once and realized it was wrong. He said this felt wrong after he'd done it. Okay. Did he still take the money for it? Did the tattoo, the face tattoo that this fool got? Scumbags. All wrong. All wrong. It's so much to talk about, you know? There's so many things to say. Oh, I wanted to tell y'all, I did achieve one of my big dreams. I think last summer, maybe 2 summers ago, I had it on my list to eat one of the Doritos tacos served by Taco Bell. Now, this, to me, is a great invention. I'm not really suckered in by a lot of these things. You know, I don't eat a lot of candy, for example. Not eating, like, a Spree. You know, I'm not eating discs of sugar that's put in a rock tumbler. Not eating a nerd's rope, which as far as I can tell is nerds embedded in a long string of rubbery diarrhea. And I don't know what you're supposed... Are you supposed to eat that or just whip it against the ceiling in a tall building with a high ceiling and just leave it there for 40 years? However, my weakness is chips. You put a weird chip in front of me, I'm going to eat it. I'll never forget, I was in, the only time I've been to England was in the airport. And in the vending machine, they had steak-flavored chips. And I said to myself, Pete, you magnificent fuck piece of shit, you need a couple of those. I ate them and they were horrible. But you know what? Any kind of chip I'll try. I will try it. So when they said we're going to make an entire, I mean, really, if you think about it, a taco is a huge chip, you know, that you've dipped in a layered dip, 7 being the standard number, 6 being not enough, 9. What are the other 2 layers? They're too much. It's like a huge chip with the dip already in the center. So really, going to a Dorito is a logical step. You know what I mean? And what other chip would you use? A fucking Pringle? Fuck you with the Pringles. I mean, I swear to God, I don't know what Pringles is waiting for on making their mouth of their can an inch wider. You know what I mean? Probably because then they couldn't get their cans from the same place that fucking puts tennis balls in a can. Why do tennis balls have to be in a can that's pressurized, by the way? I don't know if any of you have ever bought tennis balls. I don't know why you would. If you're playing tennis, you're a crazy person. This is a crazy sport. You know what I mean? You must own white shorts. But, you know, you get tennis balls and you take the little lid off. Go to your fucking Walmart. I'll wait here. Okay, now you're in the aisle with a headphone in and the hood of your hoodie up because you just can't stand to have peripheral vision in Walmart. That's a bad decision. Open up the tennis ball can, take the lid off. You're going to see there's like a pop top. It's almost like when you open a beer. And when you push that, it's going to go ksht, and you'll smell the most delicious chemical-y air coming out of that fucking can. Why do tennis balls need to be in an oxygen-free environment? Is it really that important that those be kept fresh? I mean, why can't I buy apples in a tube like that? You know, where they suck the oxygen out and they stay good, you know? So I can buy apples like I always do with every intention of eating them. And then when I don't eat them for 3 weeks because I'm like, I really feel like buying the apple is the important step. Then it's fine. So anyway, fuck you, Pringles. Okay, so I had the Dorito taco. Now here's the good thing. The good thing about waiting was that they also have the Cool Ranch version. So what did I do? I got one of each. One nacho, one Cool Ranch. How were they, you may ask? Well, here's the problem with Doritos and Dorito tacos. What the fuck happened to the amount of dust that used to be the cheese dust or the ranch dust that used to be on a Dorito? I feel like it used to be when I was a kid and I would buy a bag of Doritos to eat for lunch, not with lunch, and not a bag like you get at Subway. I mean a family-sized bag of Doritos that I would eat on the way to school. Sometimes sneak from my desk, eat as a lunch, and then eat on the way home, and then wonder, you know, shouting at the heavens, why do I have these bowel pains as a, you know, 9-year-old boy? Those chips were so covered in flavor dust that the bottom third of the bag was like a little desert of dust. You could stick your hand in and there would be dust. You know what I think it is? I think they're only dust in one side of the chip. If you buy a bag of Doritos, you will notice one side of each chip is far more flavor-packed than the other. And in order to simulate the experience of the original Doritos, you have to put the flavor side down on your tongue so that you know you're blasted with the flavor. Because if you put it up, it's not the same. But, you know, the experience is gone because I cannot just turn the lights off, watch episodes of Voltron, and eat a bag of chips and not even realize it's all gone until my hand is searching the bag and going, oh dear God, I've eaten a whole thing of Doritos. I need to sprint to the toilet. The moment you realize your Doritos bag is empty, just get up and go to the toilet. Just do it. So I got the Doritos tacos. Not enough dust. Shortage. I think there's a shortage of this dust. You know, we're always talking about the shortage of fucking bees. You know what I mean? Where have all the bees gone? Oh my God, the bees are gone. Fuck bees. Bees are retarded. Have you ever seen a bee fly in a straight line? We call it a bee line. I don't know why. Every time I see a bee, it's bumbling around. When else do we use Bumble besides bees and like a shitty burglar who's immediately going to get caught? Trips over an old tin can with the top ratcheted off by a bum. We would never say that other than that. It's always a bumbler, these bees. They never fly straight. And you know what else? They're always fucking around at the opening of a pop can. If you go to the park, you open up a can of pop, a bee just flies around and walks around the rim. Bees do not drink fucking Coke. I know this, but bees do not know this. So maybe bees are fucking dying because they're retarded. I mean, maybe this is meant to happen. You know, bee society has not created a support system for retardedness, and they're all retarded. You know what the real shame is, though? That retarded bees are considered unsexy and unfeminine. So here's the thing. Everyone's talking about the shortage of bees. No one talks about the shortage of Dorito dust. Where has the dust gone? What's happening to the dust? I would argue that they could put out half the variety of chips. You know, I don't need Chipotle barbecue Doritos. I need Cool Ranch. I need nacho. That's it. I don't need these other bullshit flavors. I don't need taco Doritos. Especially now that you have a Dorito taco. I mean, that's... I feel like if you bought a bag of Dorito... taco-flavored Doritos, and then you bought one of these tacos made out of a Dorito, and those two things touched each other, it would tear a hole in the fabric of space-time. That'd be fucking Doctor Who. This is how Doctor Who starts. Somebody did that. That's all I want to know is where's the dust, you know? And of course, you know, then you're going through the drive-thru, too, and let me tell you something. These drive-thrus are fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? You go through the Wendy's. Let me just take you through a Wendy's experience. First of all, at my Wendy's, you have to drive around the entire fucking restaurant to get in the drive-thru. If you're an idiot. If you're me, you just illegally drive through a one-way to get into the drive-thru. Does it seem lazy? Maybe. But I don't see this as a choice. Every man for himself at the Wendy's. But once you're in line, there's a little curb that keeps you... It's like a 4-inch curb. It's almost nothing. But it's like it's meant to keep you from changing your mind. You know what I mean? I don't know. Are people getting in the Wendy's line and they order and then they say, that'll be $6.75. And they go, holy Christ. And they just peel out and get out of there. Is that a problem they were having? You know, but you feel trapped. You feel like, I can't get the fuck out of here. And especially because sometimes you'll be behind some guy ordering. And I just do not understand. You know, I was behind this guy. He's there forever. You know what I mean? It's taking so long to order. And it drives me crazy because I always think this. I'm like, what did you think Wendy's was going to have? What threw off your entire order at Wendy's? You know, you're not at the Fruition restaurant in Denver, one of the, you know, near Michelin star restaurants. that we can boast about.
Almost got one.
You're at Wendy's. You order a fucking double stack and fries like a man. Maybe some nuggets if you're feeling crazy. And you move the fuck on. So, you know, when someone does that too, I'm always sitting in line behind them wondering what's taking so long. And I'm really tense because I want to speed up to the window to see what they ordered on the little screen, you know, because I want to see what the hell took so long. You know what I mean? And you're trapped. And then they give you, like, ketchup. Can I ask a question about these ketchup packets? Is anyone on the fucking planet Earth using one ketchup packet? And if the answer is no, why isn't the ketchup packet bigger? Why is the ketchup packet not, like, half the size of a Capri Sun? And then you could have one. Because you know what doesn't cost anything is making a ketchup packet. You know what costs a lot? Making 100 packets. The ketchup inside costs dick. You know what I mean? But if your packet is small enough that I could fill it with cum by jacking off one time, it's too fucking small. That's a sure sign. You know what I mean? I'm no Peter North. I am not the decorator. I mean, even though I was named after him, you know, my parents sat me down when I was a young man and said, I want you to watch this porno and how much this man can cum. And just know that you've been named after him. We love his dick. We love the way he uses his dick. And we hope that you'll be somewhat like this man with this amazing cock someday. But you know what? I've never grown up to be him. So if Peter North can fill your ketchup packet, you might be in the right range. But if Peter, me, can fill your ketchup packet, you fucked up, my friends. You screwed up the whole thing. You've ruined my whole life. That's my thing I needed to say here. What else do I need to talk about? I had an idea for bums. So I've been taking these long walks in Denver. You know, I'll drive there. I'll eat a hamburger somewhere. This is how my life goes. I plan my trip around. What are the top 10 hamburger places? I will park at one of those, eat a hamburger, and then spend the next 5 hours walking. Literally. I mean, I'll walk. I'll get there in the early afternoon and get back to my car at 8 or 9 p.m. So I've seen a lot of bums running around. Bums are like fucking squirrels, man. Like, you would think by now they would understand not to run out into the road. You know, you'd think by now the squirrels who ran out into the road would be smashed and then they would not reproduce. And slowly, squirrels who were cautious about moving cars. I swear to God, a squirrel, you'll see this, a squirrel will run into the road, be right in front of your car, and then run the other way, right into your wheel. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe they want to die. Maybe squirrels are the first real sentient race, and we should take their death as like a life is not worth living. They're the only ones who understand how horrible life is, you know? And bums are kind of the same way. You would think that by now the bums who didn't understand traffic would have been mowed down. And they'll just fucking run out, man. They are darting. They are darting through the city, you know, like it's a... And Denver's not like a high traffic city. It's not a crazy city to drive through. And these bums are fucking running through the cars and, you know, they get to... Here's what a bum does, it seems like. They're walking. They come to an intersection. They stop. And then there's just an internal timer each bum has set to a random time, and it just goes, and then they are going. Doesn't matter where a car is, doesn't matter, they don't look the way the cars are coming, they just go. And I had this fucking idea. I think what they need to do is at homeless shelters, they need to put in Frogger machines. You play this game Frogger? Where you're trying to dodge the cars or jump from log to log. And it teaches you about safe areas and unsafe and to predict when a truck is coming so you don't get squashed. I think that if they put free Frogger machines in these homeless shelters, I mean, maybe it attracts more homeless to the shelter, which is good because then they're in shelter. And also, then they could fucking learn something when they're learning survival skills that way. You know what I mean? I don't know what they're doing at the shelter normally, learning how to, like, fucking make a huge fire in a barrel. I mean, that would be the first. If I was homeless for one day, I would do that immediately. Because what's going to happen? The cops are like, you can't do that. And I say, okay. Thanks for letting me know. I mean, what am I going to do? I don't know. I don't have a fucking fire extinguisher. I'm homeless. Or, you know, you just say, be like, look, I just showed up and this barrel's on fire. What do you want me to do? I'm going to warm my hands up. Because, you know, it's important that my hands get cold. The rest of my body is, you know, hypothermiaized. But as long as my hands are warm as a bum, it's really important that I have my hands ready to do anything as a homeless man. That's number one. That is the end-all be-all of being a fucking homeless. Good for them. Well, you know what? I think we did it today. We talked about, I talked about women, I talked about Oprah, and I talked about homeless. I mean, that really covers a lot of the bases, doesn't it? A lot of the people that we all wish we could talk about, but you'll just listen to me do it instead. Well, thanks again, guys. If you're having a drink, have a drink with me. Delicious. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends about how much you loved this episode. You know, you're watching the disassemblage of a human man. This is a rare opportunity. I don't know if we're all appreciating this. We are watching a man crumble into dust before your ears, before your eyes, before your mouth. This doesn't come along every day. It comes along once a week at the most from here. And from other places, I don't know. How many people do you watch crumble into nothing? Probably very few. Maybe your father as he passes away. So, you know, take this for, you know, show me some fucking respect already and tell your friends about this show. Tell them, hey, listen to this episode. I think you would hate it. But I want to make you listen to it, and I'm going to ask you about it when I see you at this place we go to.
Oh,
God. And, you know, so then it's going to be weird because we won't have anything to talk about. Make this show the only thing you talk about so that your spouse forces to listen to this. And for God's sake, do not ask me questions about my personal life, because it's all in here, right? You know, everything you need to know about me. And a lot more. Everything you need to know, plus my masturbatory habits. So, I think we're in good shape. I think we're pretty intimate, huh? Alright. That's enough rambling. Have a good week. Have a good life.
Find some peace on some old gravel road, or God only knows there's nothing for me, and there ain't nothing left for me in Tennessee, 'cause I know you're not awake thinking. Yeah.